American Indians and the American government have lived with a harsh legacy for 130 years. The government took tens of thousands of Indian children far away from their reservations to schools where they were required to dress, pray, work, and speak as mainstream Americans. Many Indians remember those boarding schools as places where they were abused and where their culture was desecrated. After years of reforms, the government still operates a handful of off-reservation boarding schools, but funding is in decline, and now some Native Americans are fighting to keep the schools open. NPR's Charlotte Bear has the first of two reports.
The late performer and Indian activist Floyd Red Crow Westerman was haunted by his memories of boarding school. As a child, he left his reservation in South Dakota for the Wahpeton Indian Boarding School in North Dakota. 60 years later, he still remembered watching his mother through the window of the government bus.
My first impression, I thought my mother didn't want me. And it just hit me hard like that. But when I got in the bus and I sat down, I looked, and she was just crying. It was hurting her, too. It was hurting me to see that. I'll never forget. All the mothers were crying.
Westerman's music summed up the feelings of generations of former boarding school students.
You put me in your boarding school, make me learn your white man rule, be a fool.
The federal government began sending American Indians to boarding schools in the late 1870s, when the United States was still at war with Indians. An Army officer, Richard Pratt, founded the first school that took children far from their reservations. He based it on an education program he had developed in an Indian prison. He described his philosophy in this speech, read by an actor.
A great general has said that the only good Indian is a dead one. In a sense, I agree with the sentiment, but only in this, that all the Indian there is in the race should be dead. Kill the Indian in him and save the man.
In the 1940s, this philosophy was still common. Bill Wright, a Butuan Indian, left his reservation in California for the Stewart Indian School in Nevada when he was six. Wright says matrons bathed him in kerosene and shaved his head. Students at federal boarding schools were forbidden to express their culture, everything from wearing long hair to speaking even a single Indian word. Wright says he lost not only his language, but his native name.
And I remember coming home, and, you know, then my grandma asked me to talk Indian to me, and I told her, Grandma, I don't understand you. She says, then who are you? I went, my name's Billy. She said, your name not Billy. She said, your name is Dutton. That's who you are. That's your name. And I went, not what they told me.
The intent of the school was to completely transform people. I mean, inside out. Language, religion, family structure, economics, the way you make a living, the way you express emotion, everything.
Chanina Lomawaima heads the American Indian Studies Program at the University of Arizona. She says from the start, the government's objective to erase and replace Indian culture was part of a larger strategy to conquer Indians.
They very specifically targeted Native nations that were the most recently hostile. There was a very conscious effort to recruit the children of leaders, and this was also explicit, essentially to hold those children hostage. The idea was it was going to be much easier to keep those communities pacified with their children held in a school somewhere far away.
The government operated more than 100 boarding schools for American Indians, both on and off reservations. Children were sometimes taken forcibly by armed police. Lomawaima says other families were willing to let their children go.
For many communities, for a whole variety of reasons, federal school was the only option. Public schools in many places of the country were closed to Indians because of racism.
At the boarding schools, most students learned trades, carpentry for boys and housekeeping for girls.
It wasn't really about education. We didn't really learn English, basic English or math.
Lucy Toledo, who's Navajo, went to the Sherman Institute in California in the 1950s. She also remembers some unsettling free time activities.
Saturday night, we have a movie. Every Saturday night, you know what the movie was about? Cowboys and Indians. Cowboys and Indians. Yeah, we're getting all our people killed. That's the kind of stuff they showed us.
And for decades, there were reports that students in the boarding schools were abused. Children were beaten, malnourished, and forced to do heavy labor. In the 1960s, a congressional report found that many teachers still saw their role as civilizing Native students, not educating them. The report said the schools had a, quote, major emphasis on discipline and punishment. Bill Wright remembers an advisor hitting a student hard.
Bust his head open and got blood all over, and I had to take him to the hospital, and they told me to tell him that he ran into the wall, and I better not tell him what really happened.
Wright says he still has nightmares from the severe discipline. He worries that he and other former students have inadvertently recreated that harsh environment within their own families.
It's mostly you do what I tell you, you jump. When I tell you to jump, you don't talk back. So you grow up with discipline. But when you grow up and you have families, so what happens? If you was my daughter and if you left your dress over there, you know I'll knock you through that wall. Why? Because I'm taught discipline. Then you go like, ooh, man, better behave. But you have to look what they've done to us.
Not all Indians had negative experiences at boarding schools. Some have fond memories of meeting spouses and making lifelong friends. But the scathing government reports led to the closure of most of the boarding schools. One school that remains is Sherman Indian High School in Riverside, California, the same boarding school Lucy Toledo attended. Herschel Martinez and a group of his friends gather casually in a school hallway and begin a drum circle. The school encourages Native activities like this. That's one reason Martinez feels more comfortable here than at his former public school in Los Angeles.
And everyone was wondering what nationality, what race am I? And I tell them, like, oh, wow, you're Indian. You're, like, the only guy I know that's Native. But here at Sherman, they know how I feel about being Native, and they understand where we're all coming from.
But a recent change in federal budgeting means the off-reservation boarding schools are receiving less money, and their future is in doubt. Charla Bear, NPR News.
Tomorrow, we'll have more about Native American boarding schools today and what their future might be. You can learn more about the history of the boarding schools and see a photograph of one class on its first day and then how it looked 4 months later at npr.org.